As Dwight mentioned, we were hoping to vote on the auditorium project this morning. And based on unforeseen circumstances, we had to postpone that vote. The unforeseen circumstance being the quote that far exceeded what we were expecting. And our goal is to stay within the bounds of the resources that we have on hand. The $110,000 of restricted money for the project and the near $400,000 of unrestricted money. Of course, keeping in mind that we would not use up all of our cash reserve. We have to function month to month, and there's some unforeseen things. There may be some unforeseen things in 2021 as well. So we want to protect those resources, but stay within that amount of money to cover the project. We are, as Dwight said as well, looking to limit the scope of the project, the platform. Jason's going to get into some of the detail, but the platform and the front wall, the video, the sound, and the lighting. Our hope is to make a proposal sometime in the future, hopefully the near future. We may have to call a special meeting at that time. I don't know what redesigning the project looks like. But we may need to call a meeting in the future. So real quick, I want to share the reasons for the project and give Jason the opportunity to share some more of the detail. Because for you to wrap your mind around where we're limiting the scope, you really need to understand the full scope of it and what we're cutting out so that it's economically feasible for us. So I want to share a couple of the reasons. As we said before, 2012 was the big last major renovation we did. We did the lobby, we did the nurseries and the offices, and the church borrowed over $1 million for that project, and we are close to paying that off here in the near future. We also later replaced the pews that you're sitting in and the carpet and the paint on the walls, and thank you to those who gave to that project. We have a beautiful auditorium at Johnston Chapel, a wonderful place for us to gather and to worship. But there's been no major improvements to our audio, our video, and our lighting to the platform and the front wall. And the issue here is the growth and development of technology and our worship service has not kept, the two have not kept pace. We've just not kept up with how technology has moved forward. And it really has impacted our services. So in 2015, leadership started to discuss that. How can we make some improvements? We sought advice from four companies about lighting, video, and sound. That exposed additional needs here on the platform, on our front wall, which led to looking at our baptistry and some other things facility-wise. Tony Miller has been invaluable to this project. I can't thank him enough. You will see his gifts in a moment when you look at the diagrams, the architectural drawings. In a moment, he is a gifted man, and he's done this out of love for Christ and love for the church, all pro bono, and we just really appreciate you, Tony. Can't say that enough. The project, again, it's been in the works more than 5 years. You are tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of telling you about it. We want to act on it too. Trust me, the leadership wants to move forward, but the Lord's revealed to us we got to put the foot on the brake for a moment and make sure we're in line with Him. And everything comes together to do it right. Again, we've not kept up with some of the changes. And you can just see with the screen and with our speaker system, even some of the issues we've had this morning. Really, the biggest challenge has been to have a professional and excellent service using the older technology. Now, we would all agree, technology... worship is not about technology. You don't need any technology to worship the Lord. Technology can be distracting, though, as well, and can cause issues. And with the way modern technology has moved forward, we want to be in keeping with that and have an excellent professional service. So keeping that in mind, it should never be a distraction. We're exceeding the limitations of our system. This 1970 speaker over my head, excellent for projecting the voice for preaching, not so good for a full band Okay? And in our second service in particular, the number of vocalists, the number of musicians has exceeded the ability of our sound system by far. So again, these things that we have served their purpose. They have been very valuable to us. They've just become outdated through the years. The functionality of our platform has become a problem as we've expanded our service. We don't have enough space for musicians. You saw it in our Christmas program where you're just jam-packed and stuck behind the wall, and it's not very functional for us as well as that has developed and grown. All of it really is interrelated, the platform, the front wall, the lighting, the video, and the audio. We're often told that the sound quality, just put it bluntly, stinks during our worship service sometimes. We agree with you, and we're sorry. We're doing the best we can with what we have, and our goal, again, is to deliver equal quality and decibels, believe it or not, with the technology we have to every pew in the auditorium. You will get the same sound in row one as you will in whatever that row is back there, 147, okay? But it will be able to deliver, the technology will be excellent. A lot of times our lyrics and our videos and things are washed out by the sun and by the lighting. That's been a problem. A larger screen, better projection, all that's part of this. In addition to all of this, more than ever before, we've thought a lot on this project and how long to delay it, but our online presence is more important right now than it has ever been before. Not just to our current members who are extremely important to us, we want them to have a great worship experience at home, but to people moving from outside the area, people looking for a church, they are checking us out, just to put it that way, before they ever come and attend a service here. So our online presence is more important than it has ever been in really the history of the church in America. So these upgrades that we're talking about that Jason will share in a moment, those will help our online presence as well with lighting and sound and some of those things. The mix online, which has been a real challenge for us to get right as well. So with all of those things in mind, we're reevaluating what are our greatest immediate needs and what can we postpone a little while and try to tackle in future years. So that's where we're at in this process. And Jason's going to come now and share some of those specific details of the full scope and then how that we might limit the scope of the project. So Jason, thank you.
Morning. Morning. It's a pleasure to stand before you this morning and talk to you about what's been going on behind the scenes. We've been very busy working on this project. I've been very busy talking with individuals that are very knowledgeable in the different aspects. A lot of different trades come together in this project. So had a lot of good feedback, a lot of wisdom we have sought out. So we believe we've developed the best plan that we can as far as the full scope. Thank you to everyone that has contributed. Dan certainly give good thanks to Tony Miller, but again, we can't thank him enough for all his time and effort. And the drawings you'll see, I've stripped away a lot of the reference marks and things that Tony had on there so you can better see the layout. But if you're welcome to see the full drawings if you'd like to look through them. I mean, they are extremely detailed. The same thing we would get from an architect that we would pay thousands upon thousands of dollars for. So next time you see Tony, I would say shake his hand, give him a hug, but we don't do that now for whatever reason. So just give him a thanks. Really appreciate him. And he's sinking down in his seat more and more as I speak. But anyway, I want to go ahead and get into this. I want to say that we started this summer down in the floor platform where I'm standing now. This summer in June, we did the structural reinforcements. So added, took down the ceiling from the fellowship hall and the kitchen and some in the men's restroom so we could add rebar as well as rebar was added and bracing to the bar joists, and then some channel iron was welded to the beams so it would support the floor for the new stage. So that first phase is completed. Let's go ahead and show on the screen the demolition plan. This is the elevation plan. This should look familiar to you. This hasn't changed a lot from what you saw as far as the drawing, from the drawing that you saw back at our July business meeting. So the entire stage height is going to be raised from our current 16 inches. It's from the platform I'm standing on now. It's going to be raised to 35 inches from the floor. Also, the walls that you see around the piano, as well as the organ side, this wall behind me, those will be changed out to pipe railing. And the wall, you can see, those in the fellowship hall won't be able to see me using the laser pointer, so I'll do my best to explain the section of the drawing that I'm referring to. So the far left, where you can see the stairs, far right, those will be pipe railing, again, that you'll be able to see through, make the stage look more open. This section of railing in the center, that would represent our wall that we have now that is permanent. This section of railing, you'll be able to see from the other drawing a little bit better, but that will be removable so that we can have a flat open stage if we so choose. Also, these railings will have some panels made of cloth that can be attached to them so we can have privacy, block them as we have now. Again, they can be open if we so choose, giving us that versatility. The baptistry opening, if you recall, will be enlarged to allow for better viewing. We also intend on having a more attractive wood finish cover for the inside of that, so it's not just a single opening where you would see back into that area, but it would have a nice cover for when the baptistry is not in use. You'll also notice that the baptistry area is going to be highlighted with dry stack stone. That would be on this, again, those in the fellowship hall can't see, but that would be this section here. Just adding a lot of good architecture to our facility, as well as making it more pleasing from a video standpoint. We will also have, rather than the drop-down screen that we currently have, there will be a permanently built screen area that will be extra wide. It will be a 16:9 ratio, which is the current ratio of the way that technology is now, and it will be a permanent fixture rather than a screen that's just hung in front of the wall. Technology-wise, we've been recommended that we go with a solid-state, ultra-bright LED-style projector. All that fancy word means it's going to be nice and bright and nice and clear, making it much easier to see detail and show videos and such. We'll also notice that the cross that's now hidden behind our screen will be moved to the side, and it will be a permanent fixture there, will always be seen. And to the left, you see our purpose statement written in the wrong order, on purpose, because we're consulting some professional help in exactly how that should look. But we'll be highlighting our purpose statement on that side of the back wall. As far as the sound system goes, Pastor Dan touched on that. As he stated, our current sound system was installed when this facility was built, which was 1975. So it's 45 years old. Technology speaking, that is a dinosaur, and we have been pushing it to its limits. So in speaking with technology companies, how do we install the best system for what we do, for our needs? We know what we have now doesn't work well as far as a contemporary worship, but when Pastor Dan is up here speaking, it sounds great. So our questions were, why is that? And what we have been recommended is called a left, center, right sound system, or a mono and stereo style sound system. So for the spoken word, you want a speaker in the top coming down from one location, that's the best for the spoken word. But when you get into music, like your car has a stereo system, you've got certain sounds on the left, certain sounds coming from the right. So there will be speakers mounted in the peak, at the very top, like we currently have, but there'll also be speakers on each side where the side wall meets the ceiling along the wood beam. So, and these will be line of ray speakers, so it'll be multiple speakers in an arc type shape. This will allow even distribution of the sound, and depending on what microphone, what instruments are being used, will be where the location of that sound will come from to give the best quality in the room. This is one way that every pew will hear the best quality sound, depending on what's going on during the worship service. Another element that will be utilized is inner ear monitoring. This is important for the praise band. So all the monitor speakers that are on the stage, so all the instrumentalists can hear the other instruments. It creates a lot of ambient noise that transfers back to you, changes the sound that you hear. So for the praise band, they would have monitors that they would just have earwigs in their ears. So that would eliminate a lot of the ambient noise on the stage. There'll still be some monitors on the stage, but not near as many. Another element would be the acoustical treatment. So those of you in the fellowship hall, if you look to the walls, you'll notice panels along the walls. Those are acoustical treatments. That controls how the sound moves around and bounces off the walls in the room. We'll do that type of analysis and install those in this area as well to, better control the sound and improve the sound quality. Because as Pastor Dan stated, one of the greatest needs we have is our sound system. I'm going to move on to the next drawing. This drawing is looking from overhead, so if you were in the projection area looking straight down, that's the view that you're looking at. This is our current layout, so I just want to give you some perspective before I show you the new drawing. All the dotted lines on this drawing represent what will be removed. So you can see along the front, those arch dotted lines are the steps in front of me. In the back area, probably not as familiar with the layout of our baptistry area, but basically it's a room with the large tub, and it's large. It holds about 750 gallons of water. And then the back area is the dressing rooms, just two large rooms that we have for the dressing rooms. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide now that you have some perspective. And this is what the new proposal, the new stage area, would look like. And this is where you'll notice some changes from what you saw in on the drawing in July. Again, the front steps here, you see, there are no steps here. The stage will be 35 inches off the floor, and it'll be a little bit further out from the last step that is currently here, about 11 inches further out. Now, we won't lose any pews. We won't lose any seating. Those will all remain. But the stage will be a little bit bigger. The steps at the very front that are labeled removable, those, a majority of the time, won't be there. Those are steps that could be disassembled, and there'll be doors along the very front of the stage that could open up and allow storage, so we could store those steps underneath. And those would be used for maybe some special programs, but mainly for weddings. You need to be able to access the stage from the center aisle for weddings. Also, behind that, you see that line through the center of the stage. Again, that is that section of railing through the center that, again, could be completely removed to allow for one whole flat stage. A lot of versatility in this design. We'll also have, rather than the current permanent risers that we have now, toward the back we'll have movable risers that can be added or taken away when we have choir specials or some things like our Christmas program. And then also to the right of the stage, the far right of the drawing there at the bottom, you'll notice instead of a single door like we have now, there's double doors. This is to allow handicap access. So in this stairway to the right, the platform, there will be a handicap lift. So you can have handicap access to the stage area. Now also, if you follow that same section to the right of the drawing toward the back, the baptistry area, as you noted on the other drawing, is completely disassembled, and you see this new layout. We will have separate dressing rooms to allow for more privacy for the baptismal candidates. The dressing room to the far left you see is much larger. That will have grab bars in it, again, to allow for someone handicapped to be able to change. The floor level here will become the same level as the stage. Again, make it handicap accessible. And the baptistry will also be. So someone that is mobile, how it would work is they would walk up these steps here to this section with the X in it. That's a flat section with a floor drain in it. And they would then descend to the left down these steps into the baptistry itself. This smaller rectangle is the deepest portion of the baptistry. The baptismal candidate, if you can see, you would descend down this direction and they would turn and face this direction and then they would sit. This larger section here of the baptistry is about height of a chair. So you would literally sit down in there, and then when you're baptized, you would lay down on this on a bed, essentially. So there's enough water just to cover your face in the baptistry. This is called a dry minister baptistry as well, so the pastor won't get down in the water with the candidate, but be standing behind it. So it makes it much more narrow, again, allowing for more access to the rear. And then we would utilize a lift like you see at a swimming pool to get someone that's handicapped inside that baptistry. So they would transfer from their chair to that crane lift, be swung around and sat down right on that seat, and then could be baptized. So that would allow our baptistry to be handicap accessible. Well, let me see. Last notes. To the far left, you notice a couple of closets. This smaller closet is for the newer sound equipment, lighting equipment. We needed an area to house that. And then this larger room is actually an existing room that's there now. We call that the communion room. If you ever wondered where, when we did communion with the separate cups and the crackers and things, that's where that is prepared. So we would continue to have that space as is. We would have all new stage lighting. Our current lighting is actually too close for this current stage, so it will be moved back, everything replaced, new wiring as well, same with the sound system, all new wiring, all new networking needs to be installed. Again, it's 45 years old. Newer LED fixtures will be installed. The house lights, we plan on changing those. We have the hot spots. I can see those very clearly now. You can see some people are in a spotlight and others are sitting in the dark. We want that to be even. And also make those LED so we can utilize the cost savings there. We plan to replace the windows and then add shades that are easily open and closed to better control the outside light for special events. And then a more permanent video system, updating the, we've done a lot there. So we're saving some money on the project because we've done so much. But there's still some things we can do to make the audio better, to get some better camera angles. So some improvements that would happen there, again, from a professional contractor that would put those in. So I've given you a very brief, obviously there's a lot of details in this, and I'll be glad to discuss those one-on-one if you'd like to get more into the details of it. But this is a very brief overview of the entire scope. And it's certainly worthwhile to do that, because once you know the whole picture, it's easier to scale back and say, okay, you know, maybe at this point we can't put in the handicap lift yet, you know, but we can go ahead and build the double doors, we can put blocking in the wall, we can run the power supply to it and be ready for when we are at a point when we want to spend that money to purchase the lift. We're focusing on the priorities. So we're prioritizing what elements we would do. So we'll focus on sound quality, function, projection quality, video streaming, and those things. More than likely, we won't do any work in the baptistry area. Again, as Dwight mentioned, we've been getting some budget quotes, give us a rough idea where we're at, total scope, and then we're scaling back, working with the contractors, scaling back to meet these priorities, and then deferring other items to a later date. So again, this area back here will most likely not do anything in the near future. We'll plan to do that later. Things like the window replacements can be deferred to a later time. The house lighting is something we can do later as well. So some of those larger items we can wait to a later time. So again, that's the full scope of the project. Look forward to these improvements and how we can continue to worship our Lord and honor Him with excellence.
Right, thank you, Jason, for that presentation. And for those of you who don't know, he's a contractor on the side, was a contractor before this, and Jason's a gifted guy, a great staff of gifted people, and that's why I call on them to come up here in areas that I'm not gifted in. So thank you for that presentation. And keep your ears open. We're moving forward. If you'd like to give towards that project, I encourage you to mark it specially for the auditorium project. And we can put those funds towards that. And again, we'll allow for a full discussion, a vote at a future time, hopefully sooner than later. We know how important this is, and we are ready to move forward. Just need to make a few adjustments. So thank you.